Good evening. It's good to see everyone here as we are here to look at more of God's Word. Is everybody able to hear me? Yes? No? Melton, can you cut it up just a little bit? Thank you. Tonight I want us to talk about overcoming fear with God's help. Overcoming fear with God's help. There's so many things that cause people to be afraid. We find people being afraid of so many different things. When I think about the word fear, I was trying to not give so many different definitions. There are so many different synonyms and definitions for fear. A few of them that I found pretty interesting that I wanted to give was dread, fright, grim, horrible, horrendous, distasteful, grievous, tragic. You think about some of these things, there are things that cause fright or causes one to be afraid. There are different types of fear. You have the fear of a situation becoming so difficult that you don't think that you can escape it. You have fear of social events. There are even fear of men. Androphobia. I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah, the fear of men, which means that if a person has androphobia, they are afraid to see people. They won't even be around people. There's a difference between not being comfortable around people and being afraid to be around people. Those are two different things. It made me think about some of those things, and there are many things that cause emotional and mental breakdowns, causing people to go astray in their minds, or causing people to just simply be afraid. I come to find out that this is nothing new. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 7 through 11, and Jacob was afraid of his brother Esau. He was afraid that his brother was going to kill him. Kill his family. Well, Jacob done some things to Esau that he should not have done. So I guess there was a reason for him to be afraid of his brother. But when his brother came to him, well, that didn't happen that way. Sometimes people are afraid of things that really just won't happen. That's one case. Another case, I think about fear and fright. Sometimes people, they grow faint. They grow soft. Turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. And as we look at some things, God knew this. God knew that the children of Israel, when he brought them up out of Egyptian bondage, he knew that as he would bring them up out of Egyptian bondage round the Red Sea, going to the Red Sea, there was a war that broke out, and God didn't want his people to be around that because he knew that they would be afraid. Well, sometimes our hearts grow faint. Our hearts begin to become discouraged. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 20, here we see something that's pretty interesting. God tells them through Moses, when you go out to battle against your enemies, you see horses and chariots and people more than you, don't be afraid of them. Something about mankind and him being afraid of the numbers, if you will. We've got all this great army against us. And now, of course, this is a physical example that I'm giving. But sometimes, even in our own minds, we think that things and people and situations and events are against us. And so we see some things that are against us. And so here God is saying, don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He's with you. Now, notice the assurance that God gave to them, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The reason why I put so much emphasis on brought thee up out of, because remember, they were in bondage. And the very fact that they were in bondage, he brought them up out of that bondage and freed them. You know, when God brought us up out of the bondage of sin, those of us who have been baptized, He freed us from that. There's some things that we should not be afraid of. Why? Romans 8:31, God is with us. 1 John 4, verse number 4, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God is with us. But look at verse number 2. And it shall be when you are come near unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. There's so many things that causes people to be terrified, to tremble, to fear, to grow soft in their hearts. Now, as I'm thinking this through with you, I want you to be thinking about some things that cause maybe some of your loved ones, maybe even yourself, to grow faint, to cause you to tremble, to fear. Be thinking about those things. And notice verse number 4. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you. Now I love this because God is assuring the children of Israel, second generation, God is with you. And sometimes as the people of God, New Testament Christians, we just need to know God is with us. And so notice what He says, to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. We have an enemy. His name is the evil one, the diabolical one, Satan, the devil, the adversary. That's our enemy as Christians. We consider these things, and what God is actually doing here, He's telling the children of Israel, gird yourself up. Peter would say, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be aware of what's going on. Know your surroundings. But then there are some people that actually get in their own way. Remember Judas? Judas got in his own way. How about King Ahab in Isaiah chapter 7? Got in his own way. What do you mean by King Ahab? It was God through Isaiah that told Ahab, ask God for a sign. King Ahab said, I will not ask God for a sign. God was troubled by that. So since King Ahab did not want to ask God for a sign, what he did was this. He made an agreement with Pekah and Rezin, two kings. Remember that, Brother Royce? He made an agreement with them for safety and security. God says, ask me for a sign that you're going to be okay. But this king, he asked signs for men who are not even in God's group. And sometimes Christians do that. No wonder God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. No wonder God says, cast your cares upon him, he cares for you. Trust me, he says. King Ahab didn't trust him. And you know what God gave King Ahab as a sign? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. You know what God was telling King Ahab? I'm going to deliver you from all these nations, but you don't have enough trust in me to even believe it. God is going to deliver us from this evil and sin-cursed world one day. We have to have enough trust in God to believe it. So I thought that's pretty interesting. Another one that got in his own way was Saul, King Saul. He got in his own way. These are things at times, friends, that bring fear and anxiety. Cares of this life that really didn't even have to happen. If King Ahab would have just asked God for a sign, he would have known, I'm going to be victorious. We're going to be victorious. If King Saul would have just done what God told him to do by way of command, go slaughter the Amalekites, don't leave any, he'd have been okay. if Judas would have just stayed on the path with Jesus Christ, he never had that worry about putting in his mind, I'm going to go hang myself. Just causes me to think, how do we overcome fear, any type of fear? Doesn't matter what it is. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. I was thinking about this, and just because people think about things don't make it right. But I was thinking about this, and I've learned over the years that you just can't overcome fear with just the mind. Reason why is because the mind is associated with the body and the soul. One whole man. The reason why I say that is because when we consider the mind, the body, and the soul, they all come together. Sometimes you just can't treat the body. Sometimes you have to treat the mind and the body. You have to treat them both. Sometimes you just can't treat the mind and the body. You have to treat the mind, the body, and the soul. You have to treat all three. Here, we see something interesting. And the very God of peace set you apart wholly, sanctify you. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an interesting passage as I was pondering that. Because it made me think about some things. Our issues may be physical, psychological, spiritual in nature at times. When you think about the man who had the dropsy in Luke chapter 14, well, he needed physical help, but this helped him in his faith. We consider the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8, bleeding for 12 years. She knew that if I just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Do you understand that when her blood dried up, her faith was strengthened? I thought about that. It made me think about the man who had a son in Mark chapter 9, 17 through 29. You remember the evil spirit would cast the son into the water and into the fire, attempting to kill him. Jesus comes down off of the mountain of transfiguration, sees the commotion, what's going on? I brought my son to your disciples, they couldn't do anything for me. Jesus said, bring the boy to me. What's going on? He tells them that story. And the man says in verse number 24, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. My faith needs strengthening. I believe that you have the power to do this, Lord, but I need you to help me out. You know, it is all right at times as we grow faint in our lives to say, Lord, I believe, but I need a little help right now. I need a little encouragement. I need a little strength right now. And when I consider overcoming fears and anxieties and troubles and struggles, it made me think about Luke 15. And you consider that prodigal son when he went to that foreign land. But one thing I like about Luke 15, especially verse 17, after he realized that he was in a space, in a place that he shouldn't have been, he spent all his money on riotous living. The Bible says he came to himself. And then he began talking to himself. Let me be totally honest with you right now. My heart has been troubled, and I had to talk to myself within the last couple of days to the last couple of hours to find out, where are you troubled? And lo and behold, I found it. I found it. And once I found it and I asked God to help me with it, my whole attitude just started to calm down. The Bible is right. This man knew he needed help. Lord, I believe. This boy knew he needed help, came to himself. Sometimes we need to just slow down, talk to ourselves, come to ourselves. I believe it's in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, there's a little point here that I want to make. It's a very subtle point. In Mark chapter 7, let me see. And verse number 21. Yes, there it is. The question was asked, what defiles a man? And Jesus responds that it's not what goes in, but it was what comes out. And so in verse 21, he says, from within, out of the heart. Now, the heart is the mind, the will, the intellect, the understanding, the emotions, the feelings. Proceed evil thoughts. The Greek word there is dialogamos. The English rendering of that is dialogue. That a person can actually talk themselves into doing that which is evil. Well, if that's the case, the opposite is true. If a person can talk themselves into doing that which is evil, a person can talk themselves into doing that which is righteous. And we see that in Luke 15, verse 17. And so the Bible begins to make more sense. That if I slow down and think things through, I can overcome fear, anxiety. I can be an overcomer. I can be strengthened. Which means that the mind, the soul, the will, the intellect can be dealt with through God's word, through submission. But also the body must be dealt with at times. Well, Jesus is not on the earth today, so he's not healing. The apostles are not here, so they're not healing. So we have doctors. We have medications. So how can we overcome fear? Five things, real quick. We can overcome fear, John 16, verse 33. I love this passage. Because Jesus actually sets the record straight for us. And if anybody can set the record straight, it's Jesus. John 16, verse number 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have trouble. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. There are some things we just got to believe because Jesus said it. Again, like we said on this morning, as Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word. He said that about Jesus. Jesus overcame the world. We can too. Number two, we have to seek to have a clear conscience. In 1 John chapter 3, John here, the one in whom Jesus loved, says something that's very, very clear for us. In John chapter 3, starting at verse number 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Do you have confidence towards God? How is your conscience tonight? I believe many are not overcoming today because their conscience is not right. It's pricking them. It's hurting them. But if they're not careful, they'll sear their conscience. They'll harden their conscience. When God wants us to have a soft conscience, that we may be overcomers. Look at the next chapter over, verse 4. The next chapter, chapter 5, verse 4. This is about keeping the commandments of God. When one keeps the commandments of God, their conscience ought to be clear. For whatsoever is born out of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it, John? Our faith. Our faith must be in the faith. If our faith is not in the faith, it's in something else. We're no better than King Ahab. No better than Saul. No better than Judas. But friends, we can overcome by our faith. It reminds me of Matthew 10, verse 28, where Jesus tells his disciples, fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So, we can overcome. Look at Revelation 2 and verse 7. In Revelation 2 and verse number 7, we see something very interesting. In Revelation 2 and verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's interesting. That if I have the overcoming mentality, I got something to look forward to. It doesn't matter what's going on down here. I have something to look forward to. Number 5, sometimes we just need to come clean. Look at James 5. I think some are trying to live Christian lives dirty. Friends, you can't do it. It won't happen. The old preachers back in the day, we don't say this no more now, we're so politically correct. The old preachers used to say, I hope you get home and can't sleep. They used to say that. We don't say that no more. You know, when you can't sleep, it might be a good thing. Because you can deal with why you can't sleep. And then once you deal with it, then you can go sleep. In James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Coming clean. Something about overcoming fear. Something about overcoming fear. Some other ways that we can overcome fear is the perfect environment. The environment is key. No wonder God blessed us with the beautiful bride of Christ, the church of Christ, a place where people come together, worship God, share in common fellowship, understanding that, okay, what I'm going through, I'm not the only one going through this. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9, Peter, our brother, has this to say right after he talks about our adversary, the devil, roaring lion, trying to destroy us. He says in verse number 9, whom resists steadfast in the faith, notice this exhortation, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Brother Brian, don't you know there are brethren overseas going through the same thing we're going through? We're not in this by ourselves. Sometimes, as Christians, we have the Elijah mentality. I'm the only one that have not bowed the knee to Baal. God, he's not going to come down and do this. But he did it for Elijah during the age of the miraculous. I got 7,000. Get up. We got to go. We got work to do. But we're not the only ones going through certain things. Not the only one rearing children. Not the only one with spouses. Not the only one dealing with problems. We're not. No, all of us in one way, shape, form, or fashion. And so we help one another. Look at Ecclesiastes. Let's go back to the words of Solomon and look at chapter 4. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 actually gives some wisdom, of course, in verse number 12. This is why we can't be out on an island by ourselves. We need one another. You know, you have people, especially men. For some reason, men, I don't need nobody. I'm good. No, all of us need somebody. Well, I got the Lord, that's enough. No, it's not. You need some brethren, you need some folk that you can trust. Well, I don't trust nobody. Well, you gotta get the trust in somebody, because you can't do this thing by yourself. You can't go to heaven by yourself, can't really do this by yourself. You need some help. Brother Mike, tell me if I'm on an island by myself, I can't be faithful. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need encouragement. God made us that way. And so in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse number 12, notice what the Bible there says. Matter of fact, we'll start at verse number 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I say that to say this. I think sometimes our fear and anxiety is because we think we got to do it all by ourselves. Friends, we're in this together. And one thing you have to appreciate about manure is that you don't want to step on a cow patty by itself. But when you put it in a bag, it sure enough does some good work to some yards. Right? It's called fertilizer. It's true. We need one another. Luke 18, go to verse 1. Prayer. Cast in your cares. God knows what we're going through. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows what we need before we ask. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. But it's interesting, and I found it pretty powerful to do a word study on this. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. Now you go back and you study the rest of the verses through verse 8, but I want us to do a word study real quick together on that word faint, or the phrase not to faint. The idea there literally means to fail in heart, to be weak, to grow weary, to be utterly spiritless, to be exhausted. Jesus, what are you teaching? You're teaching that it's possible for us to grow weary in doing well? Yes. Are you teaching that it's possible that we can grow faint? Yes. It's possible that we can position ourselves to be spiritless? Yes. It's possible that we can allow things to overcome us that we just become, let me go country, plumb exhausted. Yes. If you're not careful, this life will tire you out. So consider this. For being weary, spiritless, discouraged. Paul understood this. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 1. And notice how he countered this idea or attitude of being spiritless, exhausted. When I saw this, I said, what? Really? Friends, the Bible is right. Going to all these books, listening to all these podcasts, YouTubing and stuff. Go to the Bible. Go to the one that created the man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now I want you to ponder that for a second. When you know that God has been merciful unto you, why faint? God has given us something that we don't deserve, his son, salvation, eternal life, the church of Christ. Friends, that ought to be enough to say, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to hold up. If God does nothing else for me, he has been merciful. That's enough. He says, notice, Paul said this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We're not going to grow weary. We're not going to be spiritless. We're not going to be discouraged. Why? We've received mercy from God. God could have destroyed us. But he says, no, I want to save you. So we'll end with 5 points. All that was introduction. We think about our lives and we have to consider psalmists. What about some psalms to help us overcome anxiety, worry, discouragement, spiritless mentalities? How about Psalm 23? A view of the Christ on the cross. The Lord is my shepherd. We would do Psalm 23 an injustice without at least mentioning that you need to incorporate Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. That's one real context, truth be told. Many people like to read Psalm 23 at funerals. Fine, but you're actually doing the text an injustice. You got to take all three divisions, 22, 23, and 24. Go through the Psalms. Read division 23 and receive encouragement. Look at Psalm 27. This one's short enough for us to glance at. In Psalm 27, notice what the psalmist here has to say. Look at verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, notice this, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. You know how it is. Sometimes situations come upon us. We don't know what to do. We start trembling, start sweating. Here the psalmist says, I'm being encamped against, but my heart is not fearing. Friends, we need to consider that. Psalm 34. Look at Psalm 34. This is the third one out of five. In Psalm 34, the psalmist says this. I will bless the Lord at all times. Friends, how can you remain in fear if you're blessing the Lord? Demonstrating adoration to God. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my what? Fears. Psalm 56, verses 1 through 12. You read those on your time. But just knowing that God knows what we're going through and grants security ought to be enough. Friends, we need that security. We need to know that when it's all said and done, God will save us. Friends, Jesus didn't come down here for us to have the best of all things. He came down here to save man from his sins. Let's not get it twisted. Let's not get mixed up here. God wants us to have a good life, no doubt. But God wants us to be faithful. Look at Psalm 61. And I found this very interesting because it's the same idea as Luke 18, verse 1, and the idea of faint. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. This is one that's pouring his heart out to God. When my heart is what? The King James Version says overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed in the Hebrew literally means languish, meaning to fail, to make progress, or to be successful. My heart is overwhelmed. It's failing to go forward. And he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A foundation, a place where I can find security. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear your name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I thought about these psalms, they were comforting. And so we need to be in the psalms. Spend time in the psalms. Receive that encouragement. Because there is great negativity around us. I was telling Brother Royce that I'm no longer on Facebook. There are many reasons. One of those is I was subjecting myself to a community of negativity. Why? I can make that decision to come out of that, but I can't make that decision to come out of this. Because I can be saved in this, but I don't have to be in Facebook to be saved. I had to make that decision. You expect certain things from those who are outside. Much of the negativity was those on Facebook on the inside. Friends, we have to think about our surroundings. And so again, God says, cast your cares upon me. I care for you. Seek perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Cry unto the Lord, because he desires to hear you. Psalm 88, verse 1 and following. God says, I want to hear everything you have to say, but you've got to come to me. There's so much negativity, anxiety, frustrations in the Lord's church. That should not always be the case. There are some benefits to being a Christian. One of those benefits is that I can actually lay my burdens at the feet of my God and actually walk away from them. But the world that we live in, they tell us, no, you can't. That doesn't even sound right. Yes, it does. And just because some decide to trust God and do it, don't condemn them for that. It is possible to go to bed at night and really sleep good and not think about anything but glory. Let's have a word of prayer and the lesson will be yours. Our God and our Father in heaven, you're good to us again by giving us something to ponder. You're consistent, Father, for you don't want your people to fear. So thankful that you demonstrated that to Abraham, to the children of Israel, to the apostles, to us, that we don't have to be afraid. That if you're for us, who can be against us? Father, help us to encourage one another, to help each other, to not be one who is causing pain and agony and destruction, but to be constructive, to build up, to influence for good. Father, help us to talk to ourselves when we need to tell ourselves things that your word has already taught us. I'm reminded of David, who had to encourage himself in the Lord. Help us to do that, but help us not to be selfish and encourage others. That it's not all about us, but it's about your will. It's about the church. It's about doing that which is right. Father, we're so thankful for the Psalms. Pray to Father that we'll spend time in those, that we can know what we ought to do at the right time, which is wisdom applied. Be with this congregation, her shepherds, be with the ministers, be with all of the members. Help us to always be a people who are seeking righteousness. Help us to be transparent. And I pray to Father that we can be real with you so we can help others. We love you, Father, and ask that you forgive us when we fall short, when we sin against you, when we sin against others. Help us to just do what is right. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider. Consider being a Christian by obeying the gospel. Still good news, 2,000 years later, still good news. And that good news is that Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross. They buried him. But God raised him up 3 days later. Showed himself. Ascended him up to his right hand. Gave him dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Yes, our God reigns. Believe that. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. The faithful in God will do something magnificent. He'll give you the crown of life. Maybe you're a child of God and you need to overcome fear. You're afraid of a whole bunch of things. Let's not do that. When it's all said and done, it's only one thing that matters. Well done. That's the only thing that matters. As we stand and as we sing, save us in it.